Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, I'm really excited to talk with Apollo 66 today. This is a great band who will also be hosting the second night of Suburbs Pod Fest in October.
Well, you might be excited, Jim, but there's only one word that comes to mind when I think of Apollo 66.
What word is that?
Trash.
All right, Patrick, we are in the suburbs.
Yes, we are.
But not the Virginia suburbs.
No, we
today,
crossed over.
We made the trip over. It was, not as painful as I would have thought. Over to Maryland.
Yes.
We're in the Maryland suburbs of Washington, D.C. We're in Silver Spring, Maryland. We are hanging out with our new friends here from the band Apollo 66.
Yay.
Thank you for joining us on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us are, introduce yourselves.
Travis Hodges, guitar and vocals.
Alex Morse, bass vocals.
Sean Henderson, drums, percussion.
The cowbell? Yeah. Okay. All right. And the reason we're talking with Apollo 66, not just because we really like their music, and we know you are too, and we'll get to that in a minute, but Travis here was instrumental in helping us set up Suburbs Fest.
Yes.
So Suburbs Fest, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd here in the D.C. suburbs, and night two will be with Apollo 66 at the American Legion post in Silver Spring, Maryland, and there's going to be four bands on the bill, including you guys.
Yep, Post 41 Silver Spring. It's right next to the Greyhound station, so if anybody wants to do anything illegal and take off afterwards, it's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Important tip.
Yeah, yep.
For travelers.
The bands are going to be Apollo 66, Dot Dash, who you guys are friends with.
Yep.
Frank Muffin from Indiana. They're coming in from Indiana to play, friends of the pod. And then who else? Who am I forgetting?
I'm not sure. There's another band on the bill, though. Yeah.
It's your band.
That's right. Winked Slow. Yeah, we will be on the bill.
Awesome.
We are a trio as well, so that'll be great.
Awesome. Yeah.
All trios, except for Frank Muffin. Are they going to be a trio?
They're a quartet.
We might have to lose one of the
they're
members
a 4-0.
For the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay. Yeah. So check that out. There's no cover. Just come out.
It's going to be awesome.
And it's going to be a great time. And we're so excited to be part of it and be part of your night that you normally have there. You play there the first Saturday of every month, right?
Yep. So we host shows there every first Saturday of the month. We started in August of 2018, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had our first show back post-pandemic, July 3rd, appropriately. It's kind of our independence coming out after a year and a half. And so we have our third show coming up next week, September 4th. And we're playing with Railgun from Richmond, Virginia. MF Grumbler, who I think is a new band. They just played Fort Reno a week or two ago. So we're looking forward to that.
All right, cool. All right, so tell us about Apollo 66. I was listening to your EP that you folks, you can stream it on the streaming services, self-titled Apollo 66. I instantly liked it because it is like exactly the kind of music I like. And I also really like the description you guys have for your band online, which is primitive garage punk trash rock and roll. All right. So tell us about the band.
Kind of every cool word we could throw in there.
Well, we were
and
just
maybe one of them
trash.
Will fit.
We were just debating trash a couple of weeks ago. Like, is that quite right?
I just love
maybe
trash
garbage
music
better.
And I'm trying to move us closer to that, I think.
So tell us about the band, how did it get started, and what is this music that you enjoy playing so much?
Do you want to tell them where we met?
So we met in local playgrounds around Silver Spring where we like to hang out with our kids. Let me add that.
Every great band meets at the playground, right?
We all lived around here, and we were hanging around in playgrounds watching our kids play when they were younger, and I ran into each of you independently.
Oh, actually, Alex and I met at soccer practice. And then we started talking about music, and he's like, I hang out with this guy, Travis. And it's like, yeah, we should get some beers and jam. So
I remember Alex's son and my daughter kind of hit it off and were on the soccer field and just kind of ran off and started playing together. And so we kind of had to chase them down and they really hit it off. And I remember, I think both sets of parents were thinking like, man, I hope the parents are cool, because it was a, you know, about that part in our lives. We're like, okay, now our lives are about our kids.
If our kids are friends, hopefully we can stand their parents.
Right. And fortunately,
we're going to have to be hanging around with the parents anyway.
Fortunately, the parents.
You might have been wearing that shirt, that Brian Jonestown shirt.
It's something the only shirt I have.
Exactly. It's about 10 years old now. Something tipped me off about each of you. It's like, oh, I saw a little hint that you might be into something cool. I was like, what kind of music do you listen to?
Well, and that it's kind of rare when you go into like kids' events and meeting other parents. You mostly meet normals, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate. Definitely.
I saw the Alex here. He had a Slayer shirt with it was done in rainbow color. So I was like, oh, that's pretty creative. I like that.
This guy's all right.
And then for a while, was I meeting you at the kids' soccer practice? And then I met you separately, and I kept saying, oh, like, Sean plays drums. Like, man, I should introduce you to this guy, Anna, who's playing guitar, who lives in the neighborhood. And I would see you separately, and be like, man, I should introduce you to this guy who plays drums in the neighborhood. And eventually we did.
Yeah, and I remember being pretty nervous the first time we got together. I hadn't played guitar in probably a decade.
Wow.
So I'm from Florida originally. I played in, like, a hardcore punk band. I'm not that talented. I'm just going to throw it out there. But I know a mean power chord or two.
And he said, I'm not that talented. I said, no way, I'm not that talented.
This is the best ever.
It's Sean who doesn't fit in because he's a little more talented.
Yeah, he can keep a beat.
Well,
I just like drinking beer. So.
that was the other thing that tied us together. But yeah, so we just started getting together, drinking beer, just, you know, no thoughts of being a band, just, you know, kind of like our bowling night, if you want to call it that. Getting together, playing music, drinking beer. And then there was a night, and I remember Sean and I went to go see the Ubangis, who are now are like great friends. They're awesome. We love them to death. But Brian, the drummer slash singer, we were telling him that we had some songs and we were, you know, forming a band. And he was like, hey, do you guys want to open up for us? And we were like, hell yeah. And then we laughed and we were like, we need to write some songs. Because it was like a month later. And so we wrote like 10 songs in a week or something, which is partly why our sound is the way it is.
That was at Hank Deedle's right before it burned down.
Well, when you first connected, was it over similar bands that you liked? If that's the case, then tell me some of the bands you guys like. You know, what led you to want to play like the style of music that you guys all landed on?
Yeah, good question. I think definitely the, you know, DC hardcore stuff was probably one of the first things we connected on.
Yeah.
One of the early shows that we all three went to, that we all wanted to go to, was like, oh, you want to go to that too? It was Ty Segall. Like, man, Ty Segall, you like that? Oh, dude, he's awesome. Yeah. So we had to go see him at the 930 Club. That might have been the first time like the three of us just went out and hung out somewhere other than the playground. That was one touch point that we had.
We all kind of have the punk influences in common. And then Alex brings the rockabilly element. That's a little more newer to me. And now it's such a staple in what we do, that kind of mixture. So growing up in Florida, the hardcore there was always infused with metal because there was a big metal scene too. I don't think I bring any of that to this, though.
You don't bring any metal
to the
table?
No.
Sean does. Sean tries to. We try to push it back a little bit, but it still gets through, and it's good.
So what about you? Because you mentioned, Travis, that the rockabilly kind of like became the sound of the band through Alex here, but was that something you were into, Sean? Because you play some pretty strong backbeat.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a few bands that I was really into at the time that we were talking about. One of them was called Amplified Heat. Another band is called Flash Express, and they have this really wild rockabilly, like a Motorhead, but I guess Motorhead is Chuck Berry turned up to number 11.
Well, Lemmy was a huge Little Richard fan.
It was loud, heavy rock and roll was certainly a factor in it.
So what was the impetus behind recording, you know, this EP? I mean, was it always like, when you guys were playing, suddenly started writing songs, suddenly started playing shows, and it was like, oh, the logical next step in our minds at some point is to put them down for posterity's sake? Is that how it went, or was it?
No. Actually, so we had a lot of songs just kind of piling up, but it was Dot Dash, and it was Terry in particular, one of the Legion Knights. We played together, just started having a conversation, and he told us about a program at American University where students try out everything they're learning in a musical engineering program, recording bands. And so he said that they've done that before and that it was free.
Wow.
Put us in touch. And we're like, hey, we like free. Free's cool. And so we did that. We had like maybe a day and a half, pretty much recorded the songs live for the most part. Alex and I went back and did the vocals afterwards. The recordings were a little uneven because it was different kids trying out different things.
I got it.
Yeah. So I ended up mixing it myself, and I'll never do that again because I realized that maybe I have some OCD.
It took me a while.
It took a very long time, and I'm still not happy with it. I learned a lot.
Yeah, I
learned
you did a good job.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Alex.
It's wonderful. I
think it sounds great.
A lot of times. Yeah,
and you were really saying, good. And the other thing I think is funny is that, Patrick, is that Travis was saying, you know, he knows power chords and he's not necessarily this accomplished guitarist or whatever, but you're in a trio. You're carrying the guitar. You know, you don't have another guitarist to play off of. And you produce a really great, like, wall of sound.
Absolutely.
Out of that thing.
Yep. Thank you. Yeah. So I know what I want to hear. Like, I hear it in my head. It's just a matter of getting it out. So I think the kind of surf element that we have, particularly with the guitar, really kind of comes from me trying to find the right note. Like, that's how it started off originally. And then I was like, oh, I could just do this and pretend to solo.
Yeah,
and I particularly like playing in the key of E because I think it's one of the only scales I know. So...
So based on that experience, would you guys go the same route or would you maybe record at home or have you thought about that album, you know, that's got to be in you, right?
Well, funny enough, we did do it here.
Oh. Yeah, we've recorded a couple of things here.
Yeah.
We've got a friend who's setting up an in-home studio he's looking just to kind of build a portfolio and maybe we could get
that's
in
the way to go, yeah.
You know. My standards for kind of how professional the sound has to be they're pretty low. And so, I mean, there's kind of a lo-fi virtue to some of what we're doing too. So I'm not sure we need to go to some kind of fancy, expensive place.
That's interesting. Yeah. Jim, I may have told this story at one point, but in our band, and this is way back when they moved Inner Ear to the current location, we were one of the first groups to go in there and record. Number one, we were nervous, you know, because we'd never been in a studio before. And we went in there with Jeff Turner from Grey Matter, which was awesome. Yeah. But we recorded these four songs. And when we got them back, we were like, this is not at all what we thought it would sound like. Right. It's way too, I can hear everything way too well. There's not enough dirt on any of this. Right. So we were like, never again are we going in the studio. We got to have it. So, I mean, you can hear all the, you know, to me, it was like, oh my God, my guitar sounds like that. That's terrifyingly bad.
Yeah, so I think home recordings, the technology is so amazing now that you can do it a lot. Yep. And personally, I like learning things, so it's fun, unless you learn that you spend too much time going over and over the same thing. But we did a live recording for a Brooklyn show, like a community radio show.
Free Brooklyn.
Oh, sweet.
Yep. And it was the Rodent Hour. So we did four songs live, and we just set it up here and did a couple of practice to get the levels right, and then just did it completely live.
Oh,
and
cool.
The sound is actually good. And the one thing I know about us is we're a live band. Like, that's kind of
there
us. And so I, you know, recording us playing live together, I think, is the best way for us.
Yeah. I'm sure you found this in the mixing experience you had. It takes a lot of work to sound not so good.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. To get what you want.
Right. Lots that's what I mean. You know what I'm saying. I mean that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which mistakes do we leave in and which ones do we take out? Right.
Because you don't want it to be too slick, right? You want it to have some of that.
No.
A little messy.
Like, I like the mistakes. That's what makes it sound like it wasn't made by a computer.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. How do you guys go about songwriting?
It's changed kind of.
Yeah, recently. Well, the pandemic has really kind of changed things.
We used to, we were just talking about this as far as where do we want to go from here. We used to just jam each week and stumble on riffs and then start stitching those riffs together. Mm-hmm. And I think, right, the pandemic pushed us kind of further away from each other, and we're just kind of noodling around on our own and recording things on our own. And now we're bringing more complete components to the practices. But I don't know, I also miss the jamming and stumbling on things too. So
we're kind of at that point right now where we're like thinking about how do we want to do this, because the doing together is what makes it a lot of fun.
We try to make it a collaboration, and if I'm coming up with something, I'm trying to come up with something that I think they'll like, that I like as well, you know? I mean, it's uncanny the extent to which we are kind of on the same wavelength as far as what sounds cool, you know? I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, the cramps, and there's a few touchstones that we can kind of rely on. And then I think we try not to get too trapped in some of those models, I guess, but that makes it easier to at least have some similar models, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think most importantly, it's, you know, going back to us being a live band, we want to rock out. we want it to feel good. So it's almost like the songwriting is second, but I think we're coming to a point now where like, okay, we're getting a little bit better. Maybe we should start thinking about the songwriting a little bit more, which sometimes, you know, we might present something that someone else will be like, I don't know.
Usually Sean gives us a look really?
He's our
critic.
Yeah. which sometimes you're like, you're so right.
But you need that, right?
Yeah.
You need somebody to bounce things off of and be like, you know,
need to check.
Someone who can be honest with you.
I'm definitely honest. Yeah.
he's often drumming, rolling his eyes. I'm like, oh, he's not liking this.
I think he's asleep. What the hell?
So tell us about the American Legion shows you do every month. They've really developed into this like kind of community.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. We played one night, somebody else's night that was hosting, and it was more of a blues kind of night. And the guy that was hosting it, I just kind of hit it off with him. Really great guy. Jerry is his name. And he suggested that, you know, you guys should host your own night, and met the commander that runs the whole show there. And talked to him, and then we started hosting our own nights. And it was, for us, it was like, okay, we get to practice every first Saturday of the month as kind of the host band of the evening. And then we get to build this cool little community of bands. And it's, and what we realized, like, Silver Spring has a lot of musicians here.
Right. And actually, and beyond. Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys there and see who you can bring with us. I mean, it definitely is a little scene. I always think of it as kind of like it's somebody's big basement where we can play and we can pack in more people than you can in most basements. Yep. And it's very informal and friendly and comfortable. And a lot of the same people come. Some of the Legion regulars will hang out at the bar.
Oh, that's cool.
So we got a few people, you know, a few veterans back there in their 70s and 80s probably.
Yeah, oh, that's like, awesome.
You know, watching us. One of the things that has been particularly cool is the way there's kind of an old DC scene reunion kind of thing that happens occasionally. I mean, Dot Dash with Danny Ingram.
Right.
We had True Facts and the Insaniacs play.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's
we
awesome.
Had
Del Arcos. As
yeah,
well.
The Del Arcos, who, yeah, guys who go way back. We've had two different, well, we had Marshall Keith from the Slicky Boys.
Oh, okay.
We had another guy from the Yachtsman play, another Slicky Boys alum.
And it's not only reunion bands. Like, so
no,
like,
no, no.
So I would say the very first show that we booked, you know, because I didn't grow up here either, so I don't have a lot of these connections like these guys did, so they know, you know, a few more people. But trying to build out the first bill for the first night, I was just going on Bandcamp, finding bands that I really liked. And one of the first ones is our good friends, Teen Cobra. It's just, you know, one guy that writes all the music and his wife plays the drums, and together they're just amazing. But they played their first show there that night. So I'm always, you know, we're always trying to look for like new bands too. And like, because it's hard at clubs too. People want a band that's going to have a big following because they, you know, it's about selling alcohol and everything else. And
right.
Like we can offer something up where, you know, kids just get to play, and like, we're happy to do that. And it's a labor of love for us, you know, kind of like, you know, with podcasts and everything else, we bring in all the gear. There's nothing there. We load it all out at the end of the night.
Wow.
And that part sucks.
It totally
sucks. But like being able to do that and run the sound for everybody, like that's rewarding in itself. Like I love playing, but I also love that we're building this too, you know, and providing it for everybody else.
I think the reunion aspect of it is very cool because I think people have a tendency on a high level to say DC punk rock, right? It's Discord, right? It's Minor Threat, and that's the sound. But all the time, and you mentioned the Slicky Boys, I mean, you know, there was Raz 70s and 80s. There's always an alternative to what Discord had. And they were, Discord, you know, for the most part, is pretty welcoming to all that stuff. But there was always, you know, much more to it.
Black Market Baby.
Yeah, Black Market Baby. I mean, Date Bait. There was always these kind of bands, right? They were playing that kind of a style from DC Space all the way on. And there was always that element. And there's always kind of a garage punk surf kind of bands around here all the time. So it's cool that there's part of that element in it, too. You know, there's a lot in DC, you know, much more than, you know, I think people on a high level might think of. So.
Yeah.
Have you guys toured at all, or is it just mainly played around here, or you haven't done shows in
my
up
head,
in New York
I've
or Boston
been
or anything?
Everywhere?
Yeah, I was gonna say as far north as we've gone is Gettysburg, and as far south as we've gone is Arlington. So that makes three states in a district.
Nice.
Yeah. Fortunately, we're in the Mid-Atlantic, so we can at least do that. Scheduling is a big part of it, of course, and you know we're parents, and that's you know that's number one.
Yeah,
it would be a blast. I mean, I'm really interested in cracking the Philly scene.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because there's so many bands.
Seems like a great place for you guys. Yeah,
we've played with a few. To crack that Philly scene would be so fun. It sounds like everything's exploding.
Perfect for you guys. Yeah.
And we played with a couple of New York bands. So I think that's coming.
But I think what's interesting is when we do the Suburbs night two with Apollo 66, all four of the bands on the bill are in that same situation of you know having day jobs, having families, but still wanting to do original music, record original music, and play the occasional show, but it's not your life, you know, and it can't be because of circumstance, but you're able to keep doing it because it's a passion of yours, right?
I love it, yeah. It makes life worth living, you know, and all the absurdities that there is in life, and, you know,
totally.
I mean, this is something we enjoy.
Like you guys said, I mean, you drink beer and hang out first, and then also you play music, right? That's certainly how we are. But I got to ask, are your kids old enough to have come seen you play, or what's the story on that?
For everybody listening, the American Legion shows are all ages.
Wow, there you go.
So that's we've been bringing our kids. Oh. Our kids are now, like, in middle school. They were coming a few years ago.
Wow, they came all the time, and now they'd rather...
They'd rather play Xbox.
That's right.
Definitely the Legion shows are kind of a family affair. There's a nice outdoor grassy area that they can run around in. It's a big enough room. They can stand in the back if it's a little too loud for some of them. It's definitely a friendly, welcoming scene, and it's free, and it's centrally located, and we would love more and more people. Cheap drinks, that's maybe the most important thing.
It's very important for
I noticed that when I was there recently,
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you guys, my offspring are now all over the age of 21, but there was a period, because we've been doing this for a long time, when they said, I don't want to know about that. I don't want to think about the fact that you do that. And it really upsets me. But then once they got to the age of, you know, college, they're like, wait a minute. So you've been doing this all this time, like while you had a job and raising us, like that's
it's just a matter
cool
of time.
You still do that.
I think there's some appreciation. Actually, my son today, he went off to the pool in an Apollo 66 t-shirt.
Nice.
So I didn't say anything. I was just proud to see that he got that.
I have noticed a few times when I've picked my daughter up from, say, camp or something, and we're bringing her and a friend home or something, she'll have my phone and put on Spotify and always play like an Apollo song. And I'm just like, all right, there's something in there. I'm like, okay, cool. You know.
Yeah, my dad's on Spotify.
That is cool. Speaking of Apollo 66, tell us about the name. I found this interesting when I read a little bit about what the name means to you.
Well, Sum 41 was taken. So
Engineering was taken.
Yeah, we've kind of gone back and forth on this name.
I think it was given the way the artwork is and everything. More like during the Race to Space time, the Apollo. And then, of course, Get Your Kicks on Route 66.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a fusion of...
And let's
and
be honest,
rockabilly kind of.
Yeah,
Sean did this awesome drawing, and we're like, okay, let's just write the music around that. That's great. That's
inspired by the drawing. That's
We got Asteroid Babes, one of our songs. So it's kind of spacey.
Yeah, Yeah, it makes total sense now.
Yeah, it totally fits. Yeah, very, very well.
Because I mean, it's a throwback. The music is a total throwback. So like that whole time period of exploration, whether it's up or across, you know, and that's, you know, I'm trying to figure out my guitar fretboard, so it's kind of the same thing,
going up and down each string.
Yeah, until like, oh, that's it. That's the note.
It's a throwback, but I also think the rocket imagery speaks to like speed and power and that kind of stuff, right? And that's what your music does. All right, so we'll see you guys on October 2nd.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Awesome,
it's gonna be great.
But thank you, guys.
So October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, Suburbs Fest. The first night at Settle Down Easy Brewery in Falls Church, Virginia. Second night at the American Legion Post in Silver Spring, Maryland with these guys and you and your guys, Patrick, and all kinds of live music. About how long is that going to be, like total show with the four bands?
So we usually try to run from like 8 to... We try to get out of there about midnight, so to about 11:30.
Oh, wow.
I try to run a tight ship, and we usually play like a short 30-minute set. So
peoples, come on out. You're going to get a lot of music.
You're going to get a lot of music,
a lot of live music and cheap drinks.
Yeah, and hey, you know, if you want to come down, there's lots of folks that we know around this area. You probably find a place to crash or, you know, hotel.
Lots of places to get food.
Get in touch with us.
It's great.
Let us know. Yeah. And then night three will be at Ned Devine's in Herndon, Virginia, and that will be a full show by Frank Muffin from Indiana, right? So they're going to do since they're coming all this way, they get to do another show on their own the next night. Okay, but we're going to hang out here.
Yes.
And tomorrow we're going to talk with these guys from Apollo 66 again.
Are you guys spending the night?
Yeah.
We will. We can get like sleeping bags and put them on the floor here.
I'll just go under the
coffee. It's going to be great.
Curl up in there.
We can watch horror movies all night. This is going to be cool.
That's probably the place for that, right?
Yeah. We're in the basement here. It feels very much like we should sleep on the floor and watch horror movies.
I did a lot of vacuuming.
All right. We'll do that.
A lot of vacuuming.
And then we're going to come back and talk with these guys again tomorrow. So you're not going to want to miss that. Rockin' Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Travis Hodges,
Alex Morse,
Sean Henderson.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And, thank you.
We'll talk to you all tomorrow.
I guess time is such a weird thing now. I don't even know. There was a gap of a year, at least, and a half.